It's really good to see you all. I'm just happy about Sunday. I'm just tickled. This, today, and you know, we've got a guest here I'm going to allow to speak for a little while. I've asked to speak for a little while. Part of what I wanted to do this summer is expose our church, our people, to a more intimate knowledge of those local ministries that we support, that we give to, that we help out, that we're, you know, we try to help bless them because they're doing the boots on the ground work also in areas that we can't do in reaching our community and really beyond our community in this. So I've asked Doug Campbell, who is the executive director of Hope Clinic. We had Family Life Services here, the director of Family Life, and we are very much pro-life, about a month ago. And Doug Campbell, is it Reverend Doug? Should I call you Reverend Doug?
Reverend Dr.
Bishop, Pastor Extraordinaire. Come on up, Doug. Doug is here at my request to take a few minutes today and just share with you about Hope Clinic and what they do. Now, Hope Clinic, Family Life Services, there's a few others I'm going to bring in here over the summer to really expose you to the work that they do and what we give to. And we're real happy and we're blessed to be able to have been partnering with Hope Clinic for a long time. And Doug is the executive director of the whole shebang. He can fill you in a little bit more on the details of what they do, and I'm looking forward to working with you even more coming up. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, it's all yours, buddy.
By the way, my name is just Doug. I was joking about that because you don't know me, so you're thinking, who is this guy who wants to be having this big fancy title? I don't. First, I want to say thank you because we have, and I'm not kidding, we stop work at Hope Clinic and we pray for people. We give thanks to God for people. And we have just on Friday before we were leaving, a supporter came in to be part of a particular ministry and we stopped. We all held hands and we praised God. We thank God for you, for the way that God is working through you and that you are not just saying, well, that's someone else's problem, but you're saying we want to glorify God in how we serve. So I want to share with you that just a few miles from here and just 2.5 hours, there's going to be a group of people who are going to make their way to Hope Clinic. They're going to pull up into, if you've been there, the parking lot, and there's the first door, and they're going to come in that first door through the dining room into the kitchen. And then they're going to cook a meal. And then a few hours after that, there's going to be another group of people, and they too are going to come in through that same entrance, and they're going to line up, and they then are going to receive that meal. Here's what's going to happen. Both groups will serve and be served. It's not one serving and one receiving that. It's both together. And why? Because Jesus Christ will be there. And when God is present, then there is a totally different expectation. There's a totally different service. There's a totally different experience because God is there in the midst of a broken and hurting world. We come saying no. There is the opportunity. Our tagline is a haven of help and healing. Because it's done in the name of Jesus Christ. And we do this by serving in the same way that you are, in the name of Jesus Christ, and offering hope in the midst of a hurting world. And we do this because each person who comes through our door, we see that person. We see you as created in the image of God, and we hope you will become a child of God. So if we believe that every person is created in that image of God, that has that image of God, you speak to them differently, you treat them differently, you respect them differently. And that actually reflects one of our four cultural values. I'm just going to share one right this morning. And that is a Zulu word. It's a greeting. And the word is sawubona. And sawubona, when you greet someone, you say, I see you, sawubona. And the person responds with, I am seen, or I am here. Now, I'm involved in a ministry in Malawi, a friend of mine who actually speaks Zulu, who is in South Africa, and when I said, saw you bona, he said, what are you saying? I said, saw you bona, he goes, what are you saying? Apparently, I'm butchering the word. But anyway, the point is that it actually means I see you and I am seen, and we do that with each person. Why? Because that's what Jesus Christ did. What did Jesus Christ do but met every person where they are and took them on that next step into that help and to that healing and made a difference? And that's what we are trying to do at Hope Clinic, to glorify God through that process. And to see each person in the midst of a hurting, broken world, Jesus said to us, as he said to Peter, go and feed my sheep. I want to actually turn to John's Gospel in chapter 21 at verse 15. I'm just going to read a small section here because this speaks to what we are called to do. So in John 21, 15, the resurrected Jesus Christ meets Peter. Now, Peter's gone back to his work, just gone back to his everyday living. And I love how it says they had finished eating. Different translations say different parts there. But essentially, they had finished a meal. And Jesus says to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Now, maybe he was saying, do you love me more than, he's pointing to his boats and his nets. He said, do you love me more than your work? And he says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Feed my lambs. Again, he said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Take care of my sheep. Third time, he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he was hurt. Jesus asked him, third time, you know, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Then feed my sheep. Now, here's an interesting quick thing. I know I have a set time, so this is a little quick minor. But when Jesus asks Peter, do you love me? He actually uses the Greek word agape, or agape. And that has a sacrificial understanding of love. But when Peter responds, he says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you, but you know that I rejected you, right? So you know that I denied you. So he actually doesn't use agape. He uses philo. And philo actually has an understanding of a brotherly or sisterly concept of love. It does not have sacrifice as part of it. So Jesus is saying, do you love me sacrificially? And Peter says, you know that I love you. But each time he says, feed my sheep. Here's the interesting part. Second time, Jesus uses agape. Peter responds philo. But here's the interesting thing. The third time, Jesus meets Peter where he is and says, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he uses philo. And even at that point, he says, go and feed my sheep. And that's what we're trying to do at Hope Clinic. Our mission is very clear. We actually just refocused our mission statement. And our mission is to partner with you to make lives better through holistic care, offering free medical, free dental, free food. So that's our pantry and our hot meals. And what we call care and prayer. And here's the important part, in Jesus' name. And after the care and prayer, we have a semicolon. Reason why for you grammarians, is that the right term? People who like grammar? With a semicolon in Jesus' name, so it refers to the entire statement as opposed to just care and prayer in Jesus' name. That's important for us. And so thinking that we served over 37,000 requests for help last year. You did that. God blessing you, and you in turn blessing others of sharing that blessing, you made that happen. Thousands of people who have been given that help. And they need the help because actually where we are, just a few miles from here, do you know across the street from us at Hope Clinic that 81% of households headed by single women live below poverty? 54% of families live below poverty. You know how much poverty is considered? $12,490 a year. So if there's someone who's struggling, then there's a temptation to do something else to fill a void. But if we can come here and say, you can have hope, hope in the name of Jesus Christ, you're making that possible. Here's the thing. Sometimes we hear statistics like that, like, wow, 81% living below poverty. That's awful. Somebody should do something about it. Do you know there's research done, and the very short of it is, the research found that 75% of people will not respond to a cry for help if they think somebody else heard that same cry. You're part of the 25%. You're saying we have been given this hope. You've been given that help because of saw you bona, because you know that every time someone is healed, we get a glimpse of the kingdom of God. Every time a tear is wiped away, we get a glimpse of what the future kingdom of God in all its fullness will look like. Every time someone is fed or given hope, we get a glimpse of what that future kingdom of God will look like here and now. And you are making that possible. And just as I bring this together, I'm watching, that I want to share one quick story about one of the clients at Hope who was healed and how that changed her life and what happened. I have permission to share her story. I would never share something from Hope without permission. Her name is Rita, and some of you I know Rita, and she had a situation where she came to Hope after her marriage had imploded. She lost custody of her kids, and she had horrific dental pain, couldn't afford it. Someone said, go to Hope. She got her dental pain fixed, but oh so much more. You see, what happened is someone there asked her, how you doing? And she said, oh yeah, I'm fine. No, how are you doing? That led to her opening up of the fact that, are there kids here? No. I just wanted to share that she had been sexually trafficked as a child. And as horrific as that is, she was trafficked by her father. Rita, through a very long story made short, found the healing of Jesus Christ, committed her life to Christ. And that hope, oh yeah, and her story is powerful. She just graduated last spring, age 40, at EMU with a degree in social work. I just wrote her a letter of recommendation to do a master's program. She shared her story at one of our fundraising events in Ann Arbor. This is an aside. And there was a woman in the back who was a server. And we came out, we were cleaning up, and this woman was bawling her eyes out. And we said, what is going on? And she said, I didn't know I could talk about that. I didn't know I could find help. I didn't know I could have hope. I mean, those are like almost literally her words. She now has gotten healing. This is through the ministry of Hope that I am thankful and thankful for you all. We ask three things of our partners, and that is to pray, and I don't just say that, like pray for help and healing, for the help and hope for people who are struggling. We ask you to stay, so that means to be on site at Hope to help with making a meal, working the pantry, if you're medical, helping that way, anything. And then we also ask for pay, which you're already doing. These things cost money. Our overhead's only 6%, so we're scrappy, and it's about an average $33 a patient to be helped, so we're very, very efficient, but you're making this possible. And finally, the last thing I just want to say is I'm grateful for you. I give thanks to God for you that in the midst of a hurting world, there's a place called Hope, and there's a place here that wants to make a difference. Praise God.
One of the things that is important to me, again, is we understand the grace message. Most of us understand the grace of God and what He's done and what He's given. And we're rich, aren't we?
Yes.
We've got so much to share, to give, to, you know, we've only got a certain amount of time in this life to do, to promote the kingdom, to live this out, really, the way that we're called, the way that the Lord wants us to, desires us to. Man, we're privileged to be able to partner with and help the ministries in this community. And I just wanted to thank you for what you're doing and say, keep going, brother, keep going. This is the prelude to the word this morning. Before I give you the title of the series and the title of the message today, I've asked a couple of people to share, and I want to share something with you. But last week, if you were here, Lonnie gave us a word, and it was about accepting our responsibility here in IFSI to do what God's called us to do and stepping into the greater and moving into the healing and manifestation and the gifts aspect of what God's called us to do here in IFSI and beyond this area. And I said, yes. We all We all did. All the staff did. And that word was right on. There were a number of other things that were on that word. Is that word on the... Is it on the podcast? Okay. It is not on the podcast. But that's the real synopsis of what it was about. I want to read from... I got an email from Ifoma, who also had a word on Sunday. Saturday before Lonnie gave that word, this is what Ifoma sent to me. Yesterday, Saturday, June 15th, about 6:30 p.m., after I came back from a meeting, I went into my room to put down my bags, and I had the urge to pray. So then I started praying, and I prayed in tongues for about an hour. I found out what I was praying when I prayed intermittently in my understanding. I knew I was praying for healing and praying against attacks of the enemy. The attack was against people receiving healing as well as walking in divine health. So I prayed harder and more, commanding all opposing forces against people's healing and health to leave Hot Rock Church. I prayed that the mission God gave the church in Ypsilanti will not be hindered. I ended up praying for about an hour and a half before I realized my husband and children were back and didn't want to disturb me. The attack that I saw was not about an individual person. The enemy feels threatened by the mission of Hot Rock Church in Ipsy. Our victory is marching forward and is already guaranteed, Matthew 16:18. So as a church, we must rise and take our rightful authority to enjoy the grace of God for our health and our healing. That was a good word. That was right on. Now, in addition to that word, that same Saturday, we had two gentlemen who had heart attacks. And in that arena, those physical arenas, they both went to the hospital. One's going to testify today. I've asked one to testify today. The other one will testify at a later time. But I've asked him to come up and just share because the Lord did an awesome thing. Ronnie, you want to come up? I've asked Ronnie to take just a few short minutes here. Come on up here. And I thought it would help if I kind of interviewed him.
Good morning. First of all, I would like to say how we appreciate all the prayers and the love of the church, and it was certainly felt. Yeah, last Saturday, I was praying. I said, Holy Spirit, what do I do? He said, well, I had no peace. I went to the hospital.
Hang on. Let's backtrack just a minute. Let me just ask you some questions.
All right.
And that will help kind of stay what I really need them to hear, what happened with you. What specifically happened that day? What was the event that happened? What happened to you?
I had tightness in my chest. And like I said, we prayed and we asked the Holy Spirit what we should do. And we made the decision we need to go to the after-hours clinic.
Now, Ron heard the Lord tell him, to go to the clinic, go to the after-hours clinic and get this checked. He was out there working and weed-whacking and doing all kinds of physical things and had a sense of tightness in his chest off and on through the week. So you went to urgent care, and then what happened?
We went, they checked my blood pressure. It was really good, 122 over 78.
Stop. Ronnie has had high blood pressure. And he's been applying the word by faith to his blood pressure and giving it numbers and speaking to his blood pressure. How long?
4 or 5 years.
4 or 5 years. And getting this into his heart, and he's seeing the results. Okay, what happened next?
So they do an EKG, and they had a little trouble with the machine, but when they finally got it going after about 30 seconds, they slammed the machine down and said, you're having a heart attack. And you know, at that time, there was such a, I looked at Mary and we kind of feed off each other. And we said, well, no, we're not going to really accept this, but we're not going to rebuke what they're saying. That was a fact. I was having a heart attack. But we know the truth of God's word will change a fact. So,
amen.
So in within 5 minutes, man, there's an ambulance there. They got me in the ambulance. And I remember when they slammed those doors, there was a peace from the Lord. And I was praying underneath my, I was praying out loud, but softly. And they wanted to do another EKG. I said, well, whatever, you know, whatever
in
you need to do.
In the ambulance.
In the ambulance. And it's noisy in there, you know, there the siren's going. And there was this assurance, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And the other word really I received was that I am with you in time of trouble. But there was such a peace. And let me say this, there was no fear. Absolutely no fear. In fact, there's been no fear all week. It's been a tremendous week, and you think, how can that be?
Don't go too far yet. So, Ronnie went to the hospital, and then what happened? You checked into the hospital.
I checked in, and they within about 10, 15 minutes, I was in the operating room.
First, they confirmed that he was having a heart attack. He said, you're having a heart attack. And they took him right into surgery.
Right.
And what did they do?
I don't know exactly, but they put a couple of stents in.
Stents. They put some stents. They opened up the arteries and put a couple of stents in. Go ahead. And then what?
Well, then it was over as far as that part was concerned. And within an hour, I was back in my room and I was feeling good, you know. Except I had some needles in me, so I didn't get a lot of sleep that night. But throughout the whole deal, there was just a peace, a joy, a lack of fear, knowing that God was with me.
And no pain.
And no pain. I never had any pain.
So Ronnie, when you wrap it all up, what did the Lord tell you in this whole thing?
Well, the thing is, the Lord was preparing me for this. I've been having scriptures, all kinds of scriptures. I was meditating on it. I'm thinking, hey, I'm a pretty sharp guy. You know what I mean? Well, as I was coming home, the Lord said, son, as the loving Father, he said to me, I gave you those scriptures. In other words, Psalm 16:1, I believe it is, God says, God prepares our hearts. And he prepares it by giving us the living word. Oh, glory to God.
Amen.
But Pastor, I can say, listen, this has been an awesome week. You say, how can that be? Well, the word says we keep our mind on him, we'll have perfect peace. And literally, my mind has been on the Lord, on his goodness. I can't get my mind off the goodness of our God.
Amen. 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 What happened with Ronnie, just to sum it up, is that the Lord prepared him for the incident that was coming. He'd been nurturing himself in the Word for a while. Just dwelling on the Word and spending time on the Word. I mean, hours. But just meditating on the Word, and he got the Word into him. And when the event happened and when the diagnosis came, no fear, no pain, no worries, no concerns, peace. And the Lord confirmed to him his goodness and his love and his care for Ron's life. Now, I want to say that what happened with Ron in this revelation, how the culmination of the Word and this revelation and all this experience going through this, this is part of what happens, the application of the Word in his life. This is a part of a relationship with the Lord. Amen. Understanding grace by faith and really living in it. And what happened with Ronnie has made a change. And this area of his life, I'm saying this to you right now, brother.
All right, Pastor.
Okay. This has made a change in your life. Things are not where they were. In your understanding, in your revelation, in what God has for you, because now you are ready to move. You are ready to move.
Praise God.
You're ready to move up.
Yes.
And I think you know that. And as the Lord's authoring more and more in your heart, because this is what's happening, He's speaking more and more to you about His plans for you, and you're stepping in. A lot of things have been a preparation for, a lot of the things that you've experienced have been a preparation for this next step. And you're on your way, in Jesus' name.
Well, praise God. Amen. I receive that.
Amen. Thank you, Ronnie. Would you like to share? Come on. Lonnie gave that word. I've also asked Lonnie to share because Lonnie had a major breakthrough this week also. These are a part of what happened to the two men who had heart attacks and something that happened with Lonnie here. Just part of the attacks that have come against people in our congregation and in this body, in this family. You know what? Jesus is so much bigger.
Amen.
And when the rubber meets the road, you'll see that. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Lonnie?
I'm going to make this short.
You're on.
Okay. I was at work, and I received a call from the front office, and they told me to come up front. And there's a lady waiting for me, and she says, my name is Michelle. So we step out in the hallway. She gives me a summons for a court date. And I said, okay, I'll be there. I'll be there. I'll be in court on that day. The date came for court, and you come in, you do the regular things. You come in, you check in at the desk, you go to your seat, and you wait there for them to call you, right? So they're over there. I didn't have a lawyer. I didn't have anything. I just had my little papers that I had. They had their lawyers. They had everything was, seemed like everything was to get me. And I was saying, Lord, this doesn't look good. He said to me in that point, he says, Lonnie, can you receive my benefits? I told you, I'll benefit you in all ways. I said, Lord, I receive your benefits. And so that's all I said. I said, Lord, I received, Daddy. I just received. We go up to the docket, up to the front desk. They call us. We go up there. And I'm standing on one side, they're standing on the other. You know how it goes. They swore us in and everything like that. And they had the microphones on. All of a sudden, all the microphones, they cut off all the microphones. And I look over where the clerks are, and they're going crazy over there, and they're running back and forth to the judge and everything, and I'm just standing there like, what's going on? I'm like, I say, because I knew. But anyway, so they cut the microphone, and the judge comes up to the microphone, and she says, I'm sorry, we can't find your case. We can't find it in the computer. There's no record of your case. I'm sorry, but I have no recourse but to dismiss your case totally. I can't find your case. You don't have a case.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lonnie. Lonnie, wait a minute. Lonnie, come on back up for just a second. Now, let me just add this. This was something that was unrighteous and ungodly that was coming against him. It was an attack. God takes care of his kids.
Amen. Amen.
Lonnie, I want to say this to you. You're going to begin to walk, and you're pretty free. You're going to begin to walk in a different kind of freedom, deeper, bigger. And the prophetic that is in your life is about to increase. It really is already increasing. And as a prophet, this is part of what God's called you to. You know that. The greater call, greater responsibility, and more coming. In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So anyway, we've had some pretty cool stuff happen, pretty amazing and cool and sometimes earth-shaking. But you know what? Overall, over everything, Jesus is Lord. Now, you never know this until you face it. But what preempts these things and what preempts these areas and when these attacks or when these incidents come or when something comes into our lives, what preempts it is our knowledge, our understanding, our relationship with the Lord. Because wherever your relationship at, and this is for all of us, wherever our relationship is going to have a direct effect on how we deal with and walk through these things that come. You can have all the knowledge of faith, all the knowledge of grace, all this information packed inside, but if the relational aspect of our lives doesn't fit with that, then it isn't going to mean anything. It isn't going to make any difference because we're still going to be full of fear and full of insecurity and full of doubt and worry and anxiousness, and it might kill us. It is our relationship with the Lord. So today's title, the series title, is called The Journey, and I've only got 15 minutes. So I'm going to make this short and sweet. But I'm going to give it to you like the Lord gave me. Because this is a part of what I've been also meditating on. These three areas, you know, about offense, judgment, forgiveness, humility, and now this message are three areas that the Lord has been working in my heart and my life. So this is a personal one again, like last week and before. And as I share this, I want you just to hear with your hearts. The journey. We're all on this journey. We all know that. Got a beginning and an end. It's called life. No second chances. This is it. How are you going to live? Walk the path of righteousness with Jesus, following Jesus, or do your own thing? Now you can get born again. You can do your own thing. You can make it to heaven. And it won't be as joyful as what God's called us to, because we've really lived our own way. Walking this path of righteousness, not because we have to, but because we want to. Following Jesus. All the promises, all the benefits, all the relationship, all the aspects of our salvation and grace is there. But it is our choice. This message, this brief message today is called Unconscious, Self-Conscious, or God-Conscious. I want to reference real quick Israel. I won't go into all the details, but Book of Exodus. Israel called, came out from Egypt, crossed the Red Sea. I mean, the walls of water are up here. They're going through on dry land. And as they get through, they watch the Red Sea closes down or fills in, and all the Egyptians that were after them to hurt them were killed. God meets them on a mountain, introduces himself to them through a cloud, and I mean the earth's shaking and there's thunder, and he says, "This is me." He gives them the law. And then he says, "I want you, really in essence, I want you to just walk with me." And Israel does, and they're following the Lord. God's given them a pillar of fire by night to light their way and to light their camp and to be a light to them. And he says, you know, I'm going to show you who I am. I'm going to be a cloud over where I anchor in. And you can see me. And so Israel followed the Lord like this because they could see him. They were conscious of his presence, of his reality, of his power because they could see him with their eyes all the time, regularly. But here's what happened. They're walking. I mean, they're in the desert 40 years by their own mistakes. And the Lord's still leading them. And he's still leading them. And he's still leading them. And they see him. And they're conscious. They're God conscious all the time. But at some point, they got used to his presence. They got accustomed to his presence. And they began to take him for granted. And here's what happened. They zoned. They went from God conscious to the zone. Unconscious is what I call it. Where they're just kind of ambivalent. And then from that they transfer it over to self-conscious. Now conscious, the word conscious means aware. Means awareness. So they went from God aware to unaware to just self-aware. Self-conscious or self-awareness says I really only can rely on myself. I think about myself. I've got to take care of it myself. I've got to do it myself. It's just all about self. And then they would finally come to the point after a lot of failures where they would come back to a God consciousness sense. This is where the Lord wants us to live, is in God consciousness all the time, and we can. You see, we do the same things. We come to church on Sundays, you know, or whenever we have a meeting, and we're God conscious. Or we might have some time in the Word or some time in prayer. We're God conscious. And then as soon as we close the Word or we get up from our studies or we get up from having some time in prayer or whatever we might do, praying in tongues, whatever we're doing, or we walk out the doors of a service or a meeting, most of the time we go unconscious. All of us. And then we get self-conscious. And we begin to take on ourselves the things that God has already done by grace. We take on worry and fear and doubt and stress, anxiety, and how I do things, how I fix things, how I make these things happen. And it's like a circle. This circle of life and this journey. We go from God consciousness and being born again. And we're God conscious all the time. To a part of our life where we begin to go and we enter the zone. And we're not really God conscious too much. And then we keep moving around this circle. Just like Israel. And we get self-conscious. And we begin to get works-based totally in our lives and self-reliant. Until we start to fail and we go, oh my gosh, I've got to have you, Lord. And we get God-conscious again. Now, I'm going to just read these briefly. I'm going to give you the scripture addresses, but let me read this to you. You see, every time we lose sight of the Lord, just like Israel, every time we take him for granted, every time we get accustomed to him in our thoughts, in our heart, in our lives, in our surroundings, we enter this unconscious or self-conscious area. It's not where we're to live. Romans 1 verse 20 said, God's invisible attributes surround us. Everything that speaks of him speaks volumes of him. It's all around us all the time. And we don't always see it because we're not God conscious. Psalm 139 verses 7 through 12, David said point blank, where can I go from your presence? No matter where I go, you're everywhere. He was God conscious. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, our bodies, you know, ultimately Paul is saying, don't you know? Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. He's always with us. Always in us. Hebrews 13:5, God says, I'll never leave you. I'll never abandon you. Never, ever. Romans 8:38 and 39 will never be separated from his love. Never. And he is love. Will never be separated from him. Lastly, Colossians 1 verse 27. Christ Jesus in you and me. The confidence of God's glory is in us. Should make us, once we understand these things, should make us God conscious all the time. Why do we go from God consciousness to unconsciousness to self-consciousness in this circle? Why does this keep happening? Because everything in this world is meant to strip us of God consciousness. Everything. Matthew 6, verse 33. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything that you need, that you your heart desires, everything that I promised you, everything I've given to you, everything will be added to you, and added and added and added and added and added. Seek God's kingdom first and his righteousness. Be conscious of him all the time. That is the key. That is the secret. The results, I want to give you the results of these times when we go, and you can all relate because I know this is for me. This is what the Lord gave me for me. But the results of being unconscious and self-conscious. When I'm not God conscious, I have a feeling of distance from him. I feel alone. I feel self-reliant. I feel the relationship is futile. I feel stressed, full of doubt. It's hard to hear his voice when I'm not God conscious. I feel condemned and guilty, afraid. I feel like it's all on me to take care of every situation. I'm not operating in any grace. Now, that is the results of living unconscious of God or self-conscious. Here's the results of being God-conscious. Again, this is what he gave to me. Greater joy. Peace. Security. Like I can trust him. An intimacy that you can't put a name to. Passion. A sense of being loved. Happy. Secure. Faith becomes easier. Not something you had to work at or difficult. Hearing his voice becomes easier. There's a knowledge that your requests are answered for real. There's no condemnation or guilt or shame or stress or worry. You know that grace is flowing to you, and you know that what God has given to you in your life is limitless. Finally, there's no fear or doubt conflicting in you. And these are the things he gave me. I have been purposing to be more God conscious in my life for a while, for some time. And I have to tell you that it continues to make a change in me. It continues to change how I view whatever circumstances come. You know, I look at Lonnie and his relationship with the Lord. He's God conscious all the time. He lives that way. Ronnie, Blake, many others, many of you. There's more. Those times of being unconscious or self-conscious is not where he's called us to live. It is an area of God consciousness, God awareness. And this is what happens with me, that he's in me, that he's with me, that he surrounds me, that he's all around me, all the time. And as I move throughout my life, I'm conscious more and more of him. I've got to tell you that my life has gotten more stress-free, more just joy-filled. There's changes that are happening inside of me that have been elusive. I want more. I want to be more God-conscious than I've ever been. I shared this with Rosie on the way in this morning. I didn't tell her yesterday, but I was just thinking about the Lord, and I think I was in the garage. I'm thinking about the Lord, and I'm realizing more how God-conscious I am. I wasn't really purposing to be God-conscious, but I was just thinking about him, and all of a sudden, I'm looking around. I was reaching for something or doing something. I can't remember exactly what it was, but I heard so unmistakably clearly, he said, "I'm right here." I'm right here. Hallelujah. To me. Hallelujah. I want that. That's relationship. God conscious. God conscious is where he wants us to be. It is the greatest place to live, and we can have that. That's what the grace of God has given us. Salvation has brought us to eternal life. God consciousness is where we can live if we want to. Number one, it's a choice. I'm going to wrap. It is a choice. Number two, and I'm just going to read this real quick. Please allow me a couple extra minutes. This is Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 through 19, and this is one of Paul's long sentences. But it is important that we understand, because this is also the key to living God-conscious instead of unconscious and self-conscious. That we pray this regularly in our lives for ourselves. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Next, Ephesians 4, 23 and 24. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man, new woman, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Change the way you think. It is the way that we think about God, not just the way we think about the Word or the way that we think about what he's given us or the aspects of his grace to us or all the benefits that come to us, but it's the way we think about him. Change the way you think. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And lastly, this is our choice. And what the world is meant to strip us from, anything, these accoutrements that we've added to our lives that we know are stealing our awareness of God from us, because that's what they're meant to do. We have a choice to strip ourselves of those things. Not everything in the world is bad or evil, but there are things in this life, in this world, that take away and steal from us our consciousness of him all the time. It is our choice to strip ourselves of them. Amen? Stand with me, will you please? Prayer team, come on up. Baptism of the Holy Spirit, healing, prosperity, breakthrough, deliverance, any need. any one of these three are well able by faith to help implement the grace of God in your life today, right now. Amen?
Amen.
If you need it, come and get it. Father, in Jesus' name, we honor you. I thank you. I thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. Thank you, Holy Spirit. My heart, my prayer, my greatest desire, Lord, is to be God conscious all the time, no matter what. To hear you say, I'm right here. All the time. To never take you for granted. Never get so accustomed to you that I forget. But to be renewed and the eyes of my understanding be opened to you. To that awareness of you in us, surrounding us, and all around us. Individually, all the time. And Lord, we agree. And I thank you for this. We are blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week, everybody.